have you take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 13. And we are going to teach a lesson that I hope will be helpful to you. John chapter 13. I'm kind of transitioning right now in my Sunday school class. We just finished a series, and we're going to change gears. First Sunday in October, we're going to go a different direction. So I'm going to kind of take this week and teach kind of a one lesson, just a lesson on a particular subject that's not really going to be part of a series, but I think tremendous, I'll tell you what, you're going to get good Bible instruction. I pray that you have your hearts open this morning. John chapter 13, if you'll look there, and I want to direct your attention to verse number 31, John 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify himself in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." Now notice this, verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have a love one to another." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd just give us some good, solid, biblical teaching that'll help, Lord, our church, help the assembly. I pray, God, that we'd rise to the occasion. Help us to understand, Lord, the privilege of being a part of an assembly. And then, Lord, with that, the responsibilities also that come with that. Lord, I ask, God, that you would use this morning's message, Lord, to just remind us. I think, for the most part, these will be reminders. I'm not saying we won't see something new or learn something new, but for many of us, these will just be reset button reminders that will help us, Lord, to make sure that we are being all that we can be for each other. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Let me give you this in introduction. I'm going to just kind of talk to you and give you a lesson that I think will help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe that with joining to a local New Testament church, I believe when you do that, and by the way, every born-again Christian ought to be a member of a local New Testament church. This whole idea, I'm going to be saved, but I'm just going to be, you know, the Lone Ranger out here floating around. I'll sneak in this church, sneak in the back of that church. You know, watch old Billy Graham crusades on TV and call myself a Christian. That's baloney. That's absolute baloney. It doesn't stack up with Scripture. This doesn't work. So, if you're going to be obedient, you're going to join to an assembly. If you're saved, you ought to join to assembly. You need to be saved, scripturally baptized by immersion, and then the next step after that ought to be you ought to join yourself to a good Bible preaching local assembly. Now, I think most of us know that. We've been taught that. We understand the Bible certainly backs that up. But too many times I think we don't take membership seriously enough. I don't think we really understand. Maybe it's because of that we're not doing a good job from the pulpit. Maybe we're not taking the time. I think maybe even sometimes with new members, we ought to take a little bit more time. But the honest truth is, there's responsibilities that come with church membership. Let me give you three different things to think about in introduction, and then we're going to focus on just one of these. I believe if you study the Bible, you'll find that there are several different types of responsibilities that occur in the membership of the church. I believe there are responsibilities of leadership. Responsibilities of leadership. That means a leader has responsibilities to followers. That means a Sunday school teacher has responsibilities to students. That means a bus captain has responsibilities to bus riders. That means the pastor has responsibilities to the congregation. And you know what? We need to define them very biblically. I think the Bible defines them. So we have leadership responsibilities. There are fellowship responsibilities, responsibilities of fellowship. And again, no matter where you're at in the assembly, most of us and will find ourselves in both of these situations as we serve in different capacities. You might be in one ministry where you have a leadership position. You may be in another ministry where you have a fellowship position. And you need to understand that as a leader, you have leadership responsibilities. As a follower, you have fellowship responsibilities. And again, we need to let the Word of God define those for us and explain those to us and let the Bible teach us what those responsibilities are. The one I want to talk about today, and by the way, I taught this series years ago. I'm not sure if it was here or not, but I've taught a series on building godly relationships within the local assembly. I've covered five responsibilities of leadership, five responsibilities of fellowship. Today, I'm just going to pull the middle lesson out of that because I think it applies to us most of the time and probably more than the other two. And that is, there's also five responsibilities of companionship. Okay, so you have five responsibilities of leadership. So if you're leading, you're responsible to those underneath you. Five responsibilities of fellowship. If you're following a leader, you have biblical responsibilities to that leader. But you know what? You also have responsibilities. Here's the Bible phrase, to one another. One another. Now, if you really want to go into an in-depth study of this, and boy, it'd be good for you, because I don't know if we'll get through all five of these, and there's actually more than five, then that is a great little phrase to look up in the New Testament. One another. Jesus was very specific. The Bible's very specific. In the epistles written to the churches, it's very specific that there are responsibilities that we have to fellow church members. Remember, one of them is a leadership, fellowship. One's a fellowship, leadership. Companionships, when you are basically with those that are in the same capacity you are in that particular situation. And so our church membership comes with some responsibilities, biblical responsibilities. Now, we'll see about covering five of these this morning. But I want you to understand, folks, that we ought to take our church membership seriously. Now, I guess I'm just burdened about this morning, that there's so many folks that just feel like, you know what, I'm just going to come and I'll show up and I'll attend and I'm a member, but, you know, don't ask anything of me and don't expect. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. God asks things of you and he expects things from you. And I really think that we probably don't take church membership as seriously as we ought to. You know, I hate for this to be the case, that a third grade boy will join Boy Scouts and take the responsibilities of that more seriously than the average church member who joins a local assembly. What in the world? Excuse me, let me just go a step farther. It'd be a shame if some lost guy joined the Elks and took the responsibilities that came with that more seriously than the local church, the average Christian, born again Christian, with Jesus in their heart and the Holy Spirit inside of them, takes the responsibilities of the local assembly. And so I'm trying to heighten that awareness in your heart. Listen, folks, we're not an island. We came, we joined to this membership. There's some responsibilities of companionship. The first one we read about, the first one another, that you'll find not only in John chapter 13, but my goodness sakes, if we had time, we could spend the entire lesson on this. You have the responsibility to love one another. Love one another. Jesus said, as he was in the upper room, he's finished washing the disciples' feet. Judas has left. He's taken the sop and he's left. He's gone to betray the Lord. And after he left, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Boy, doesn't that set the bar awfully high? Jesus doesn't say, I just want you to love one another. I want you to love one another like the world says they love one another. I want you to love one another like you might think you ought to love one another. I want you to love each other like you've watched me love you. Well, that sets the standard awful high, to love one another. I want to have you move through your Bible a little bit this morning. So let's go to Matthew chapter number 22 and let's pursue this thought a little bit. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 36. Every church member, every member of this assembly has the responsibility to love all of the other church members. I didn't say you always have to agree with them. I'm not saying everybody's always right. I'm saying that God has commanded it. It is a command that you love one another. Matthew 22, verse 37 or 36 says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." By the way, that's number one. That's higher than loving one another. The first great commandment is that you ought to be so in love with God, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Remember when Jesus had to go find Peter after he backslid and decided he was going to get out of the ministry, and he just had one question he asked three times, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" You know what? You know what Peter's problem was? It was a heart problem. It was a love problem. That's what it was. And listen, this great commandment, oh, if I could find a way as a pastor to keep each and every one of you in love with Jesus Christ, in love with God Almighty, like you ought to be in love with Him. You know what? I promise you, most of the other things in your Christian life would fall into place. I promise you it's true. I promise you it's true. Come on, I can testify to that. Seems like when I had a proper love for God, things weren't that hard for me to do and the right things to do. My problems develop when I fall out of love with God. I don't love Him as I ought to. Something else steals my heart. Something else steals my emotions. Something else takes my mind away from Him. So this is the first and great commandment. Now, verse 39. "And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." Now, I want to take that and think and have you think about it in a minute. Pretty amazing. You go back all the way into Exodus and the giving of the law, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all of those chapters, all of those verses. I was talking to Matt Harrison today, last night on the phone, and I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Man, I'm struggling a little bit in my Bible reading." I said, "Really?" I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, I'm doing it as an assignment because I got to read through the Old Testament for Old Testament survey." You know, it seems like when it's assignment, for some reason, it just takes all the fun out of it. I don't know. But I said, well, where are you reading? You know, I think he said Leviticus. I said, "No wonder you're having a tough time." He said, "I don't be getting a whole lot out of it." I said, "Well, no, don't get me wrong, folks. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. But forgive me if I'm just real transparent. There's parts of it that's a little more fun to read than other parts." I said, "Listen, do your assignment and then go read something that you just want to read, you know, that you enjoy reading or that you know that you need." And but all of them verses, all those thou shalt nots, all of that, you know what God said? "You know what, if I could just get you to do two things, you know what, it'd take care of all of those other things." Now, it doesn't mean that it would do away with all those other things. It means you'd automatically want to do all those other things. Because every one of the Old Testament laws had to do either with our relationship with God or our relationship with each other. You know, if you love somebody, you're going to obey. You love somebody, you know what? You're not going to kill them. If you love somebody, I know you feel like it, but you're not going to do it. If you love somebody, you're not going to bear false witness against them. If you love somebody, you're not going to be coveting their wife. If you love, are you listening to me? All of these other commandments would be taken care of if you would just love God with all of your heart. If we could just get this and decide we're going to love everybody like we love ourselves. In other words, you know what? I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me, so I'm not going to do it to them. And that pretty much you can condense almost every commandment in this book down to those two things. And so if our love is right and our heart is right. Now, don't you think the devil knows this? Come on, don't you think he's a student of the Bible? Don't you know he's just got to attack? You know, it makes it easy for him. If God's going to condense it down to this simplicity, then it causes the enemy also to be able to concentrate his efforts in two distinct areas of our life. And what is it? I'm going to do everything I can to try to get that person to love something more than they love God. And I'm going to get that person to do everything I can to get them to love themselves more than they love anybody else. And if Satan succeeds in doing those two things, then you know what? He'll get you to live a disobedient Christian life. I don't care about anybody else. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do make myself happy. I don't care what this person thinks. I don't care if it hurts this young person. I don't care if it disillusions this child or this new convert. I'm going to do, you know, and that is a problem with your love life. And so, folks, listen to me. You have, and I have, a commandment. a commandment, a responsibility to love one another. So, as you come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what? Just decide you're going to love everybody. Amen. Just decide you're going to love everybody. A new visitor comes in. Who's that? I don't know, but I love them. Well, Brother Jerry, what do you mean? You don't even know them. Well, I don't have to know them to love them. I don't have to know them to decide whether or not I'm going to love them. I'm just going to love them. And so, you know what? Take everybody off trial. Well, if they do enough good things to me and they earn, what? Did God do that to you? Did he say, I'll tell you what, I'll love you based on how good you are? Then he wouldn't have loved any of us because we were all rotten. For God so loved the... Listen, in that while we were yet sinners, God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, you know what? God didn't operate like this, and what he's saying is this. You know what? Sometimes people are going to be nice, love them. Sometimes they're not going to be nice, love them. Sometimes they're going to be cordial, love them. Sometimes they're not going to be. Sometimes they're going to be polite, love them. Sometimes they're not, love them. You know what? Some people are going to walk in, and you know what? Excuse me for just saying this, but some people are going to be clean, some people are going to be dirty. Some are going to look like Christians, some of them are going to look like they just wandered out of the gutter. You know what? Love them. Love them. You know what? There's going to be all kinds of folks coming to this. I hope there is. I hope they always feel welcome, and I hope everybody walks in that door and says, you know what? Strange group of people in there. Odd group of people in there. But I'll tell you what. While I was there, I sure felt loved. And so love one another. Now let me have you go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to try to keep moving because I'd like to give you all five of these today if I can. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10. Notice this. One of the great, great, great challenges, I think, in rearing children, one of the great challenges in working with teenagers, I think probably one of the great marks of true Christian maturity and just social maturity is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now, here's the second thought. Prefer one another. Love one another and prefer one another. Well, it's one thing to say that you love one another, but the honest truth is the proof of it comes in whether or not you prefer one another. What does that mean, preacher? What does it mean in honor preferring one another? That means this. You know what? I'll step back, you go first. Let me help you succeed even if it costs me something. I'm going to take your prayer request and put it above my prayer request. If you're dealing with elementary students, you go in front of the line, the water line ahead of me. Not throw an elbow, knock the kid down so that you can get a drink before he gets a drink. You know, line up. You know, there's blood everywhere. Why? Because everybody wants to be first. Hey, you know what? I'm not that shocked when I see. I'm sorry, that's elementary stuff. But you know what? It's elementary stuff. Come on. I mean, somewhere in the growth process, aren't you supposed to kind of get this thing that Christ pretty much put us ahead of himself? And Jesus Christ said, you know what? I could stay up here and sit on my throne and be worshipped by angels. But I think what I'll do is I'll go down and take the form of flesh. I'll be born of a virgin, and I'll live in poverty, and I'll never have a home. I'll never have a home of my own, and I'll never have a bed of my own to lay my head. You know what? I will literally walk thousands of miles, hundreds of thousands of miles, and I will every day of my life find people that have needs and try to put their needs above my needs. When I want to sleep, I'll pray instead. And you know what? When I'm misunderstood and rejected, I'm not going to lash out. I'm going to go ahead and give my life and let them nail me to an old rugged cross. And when I could have called 12 legion of angels, I'm just going to go ahead and give my life on this. And you know, folks, if you can study the life of Christ and find a selfish moment or a selfish decision, please come and show it to me, because I've looked awful hard and I just can't find it. And so preferring one another. Here's the thought. We just sang it this morning. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. It's one of the reasons we sing that song as often as we do. If we can get that in the hearts of our young people, you know, and I haven't put their little fingers up usually. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others you meet face to face. Y is for you and whatever. Wait a minute, that means you're not this. That means you're not this. That means you're this. And you know what? People that get that have joy. I've said this, and Pastor Ross has said it, and everybody says it that's got any sense, because there's not a truer statement you'll hear, and that's this. People that live for others are the happiest people in the world. People that prefer others are the happiest people in the world. People that don't care about others and will walk over the top of each other to get their way are the most miserable people on the planet. And so you have to choose what you're going to be, but let me again share this thought with you. This is a commandment. This is a responsibility. This is how the membership ought to operate. You know why? Because the world coming in to the church needs to find some place that's not like work. They need to find some place that's not like the bar. They need to find some place where everybody loves each other, and find some place where not everybody's stepping on top of each other trying to get ahead, where people are honestly, genuinely concerned about other people. And so there's a great attraction in that. That's how the light shines in our life. That's the difference that causes them to set up and listen to the preacher, because I don't know what's going on around here, but there's something that these folks have bought into that's life-changing, like nothing I've ever seen. And so it gets their attention, causes them to listen and try to find out what that is. Let's go to the next one. How about Galatians chapter number 5? Let's go back there. Galatians chapter number 5. These are just good Bible principles that'll help you in the local assembly, help us in our church. Galatians chapter number 5. If you will, look at verse number 13. What a beautiful verse. What a wonderful verse. Good instruction to the local church. This is one of those epistles that's just written to a local church, chocked full of good information for the local church. Notice what it says here. But brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, there's the next word. What is it? Serve one another. Serve one another. Now, let me just give you this real quick, and then we'll move on, because I want to get the last two. But listen to me very carefully. I think every single, my opinion, I think it's biblical. I think because of the command, I stand solidly on Bible principle when I tell you this. I think every single member of the local assembly in some way ought to be serving some of the other members. Everybody in the local assembly ought to in some way be serving some other members of the local assembly. And if you're not, you need to be. One of the things that I hit, I left a Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, drove across the state, went to Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp. Friday night preached the youth retreat at Brother Kevin Albert's camp. Saturday morning preached again at 9 o'clock, got in the car, headed back home, got here, and was busy the rest of the day here. But one of the things I said to the young people there in one of the messages, and we've taught it here. We've taught it here. We've taught it here. We've taught it here. And that's this. One of the philosophies we build our youth group on, in the time, the 11 years that I was a youth pastor here, and it's continued on since then, is this. You know what? When seventh graders come into the youth group, I try to get them up near on the front row, and I say, okay, have you enjoyed sitting? Because it's time to do something. Are you ready to go do something? Are you ready to serve? I mean, you've come, you've sat for all of these years. You're 12 years old. You've been taught, you've sat, you've learned, you've listened, you've taught. But you know what? There's service opportunities. And that's fine. That's good. I have no problem with that. And I'm not saying that no children serve. I think there's ways in which we can get our children to serve in small ways. But man, when they hit their youth group age, when they hit their teenage years age, you know what? I want them plugged into to ministries here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Why do you do that? Because I want them to grow up thinking it's a normal, natural thing to serve in the local church. You know, that there's not a group of elitists. That there's not people that come and sit and, you know what? I'm here. Would someone please do something for me now? I'm here. Where's the people that are supposed to serve me? You know, get rid of that. That's junk. You know what? The church house ought to be a bunch of people showing up saying, "Preacher, how can I plug in? How can I help? How can I serve?" And we do. We teach them about the different ministries of the church. We plug them in. You check it out today. I mean, if you wanted to, you could check about any ministry that goes on Sunday, on Wednesday, throughout the week, and almost any ministry that's going on in this church has teenagers that are serving in it. You know why? Because I want them at 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade to show up and to roll up their sleeves and think that church is a place where you come and serve, where you come and help somebody, where you go and come and be a blessing to somebody. Now, you know what? They'll have their times also where they sit and they're ministered to and they're fed and they're... But you know what? I don't want them to think that that's all church is. I'm convinced of this. I told the teenagers when I preached to them this weekend, if you right now do not actively have a job where you serve in your local assembly, you ought to get to your preacher this Sunday morning. I hope a bunch of them are doing it right now, driving some preacher crazy. But you ought to go to your preacher and you say, "Preacher, you know what? I want to do something in our church. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's pick up paper out in the driveway. I don't care if it's sweep the foyer. I don't care if it's help gather the baptistry towels and make sure that they're taken home and cleaned and come back fresh and ready. I don't care what it is. I don't have to have a big shot job. I just want to do something that's going to serve somebody in the local assembly." Now, I'm going to tell you something. You get that kind of... young people, you get those kind of young people, you train them with that mentality, and you know what? They'll be good members in their local assembly if some selfish person doesn't get their claws into them and ruin them somewhere along the line. You know, I've had our young people that grew up in our youth group get to be young adults. For one reason or another, they move to a different area. They end up going to a different church. I cannot tell you how many times I've had preachers call me and say, "I'm going to tell you what, I got so-and-so, used to be a member of your church. They came in. First thing they did after they joined was, 'Preacher, what can I do?'" Boy, they work. Boy, they serve. I want them to. That ought to be natural. That ought to be normal. You know, I told this story, and I think Dad's told it before, but I love it. I love it. When my mom and Dad got saved, you know, I always make sure I tell you that this is what Dad says. But he said, "Man, when it came to church and the things of God and the Bible," he said, "we were dumber than a box of rocks." My mom and dad got saved. They had very little church background, and what they had was a very liberal church, and they didn't know anything. But when they got saved, it was a normal, natural thing to them to just want to serve in the local assembly. He said Pastor Elmer Evans would come in and he'd say, "I need somebody to clean the church, you know, in a business meeting or in a..." And boy, my mom and dad would look at each other and look around, and boy, they'd shoot their hands up, you know. He said, I can remember us driving home afterwards saying, "I can't believe he's going to let us clean the church. I can't believe he's going to let us clean the church." And you know what? They just kept popping their hand up, and "We need somebody to take the young people to the nursing home. We need somebody to come and mow the grass." And you know, my mom and dad just thought when the pastor said "we need," their hand was supposed to go up. It was just, we need, you know, I don't care what it is. And he said this, he said there was an older member of the church that watched them, and finally after the third or fourth time they did that, they come over to him and said, "You two volunteer for everything. You'll learn. Hang around, you'll learn." And you imagine that. And Dad said, "You know, I've watched my mom and dad. I watched them growing up. You know what? He's been saved now for 39 years, or longer than that, been in ministry for 39 years. He still hasn't learned. Still hasn't learned. By the way, have you learned? Have you learned? Remember when you had that new convert zeal and just wanted to do something, just wanted to serve, and now, you know what? You're sitting on your hands every time there's a need, looking around. Well, if I wait it out, so-and-so will do it, because if nobody else does it, they'll do it. You know what? They're going to get a blessing, and you're going to be robbed of a blessing. Listen, come with a servant's heart, a servant's heart. And I mean that. I appreciate that. And that's just the way it ought to be. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. See if we can knock these last two out in about the last 7 minutes we've got here. Ephesians chapter number 4. Aren't these good basics for us? Just good basics, good instruction from the Word of God. You got a concordance, you've got a computer program with a concordance on it, just type in "one another," hit New Testament, look at what pops up. I'll tell you what, it'll make you a better church member. Ephesians chapter 4, notice verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kind to one another, forgiving to one another. Well, those two we'll just put together in number four. This scripture teaches them both. You ought to be kind and you ought to be forgiving. You ought to be kind, you ought to be forgiving. I believe with all my heart that church is no place for unkindness. Well, I gave them a piece of my mind last Sunday. Yeah. Bless your heart, you ought to keep every piece you got. You don't have much sense. If you're handing it out like that, you don't have much. As a matter of fact, you've given so many pieces, you don't have much left. What in the world? What in the world? If you're riding home after church and you're all smug and happy because you told somebody off, you've got some spiritual problems. I mean, you've got some real deep-rooted spiritual problems. That Bible says, you know what, there's no place for that kind of nonsense. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Hey, let me give you a wake-up call here. You know what you're going to find in this church and every other church you go to? Human beings. Guess what else I can tell you about human beings? They're not perfect. Okay, so people at times of time are going to have a bad day or say something they shouldn't say or do something they shouldn't do, or heaven forbid, say something to one of your children. Can you believe that? No, and I can't believe some of the things I do either, and you should be shocked at some of the things you do as a born-again Christian. And we're all going to make mistakes, we're all going to drop the ball, and we're all going to sometimes be unkind, and we're all, but you know what, come on. You can have a forgiving heart. You can give people the benefit of the doubt. You can say, you know what? Just because one time they said something to me or one time they weren't real kind to me, that doesn't make them a bad person. And most of the time, the honest truth is they're awfully good. And you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to let it taint my spirit. Now, everybody's got to choose how you're going to live. But I'm going to tell you, life's too short for that junk. I made my mind up a long time ago. I'm not going to give anybody that kind of power in my life. You know, you can say about anything you want to say. And you know what? It may grieve me, but I'm going to tell you right now, I got a pretty short memory. And you're not going to ruin my day. You know, I'm sorry, you're not going to ruin my day. You're not going to ruin my week. I'm not going to lose sleep. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to give your carnality that kind of power in my life. So if somebody wants to be a jerk, then say, God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord anyway. Pray you get saved or get right, but you know what? There's too many good things to do, and there's too many good things about this church. You know what? I'm not going to let one or two jerks mess it up for me. And so that's the way it is. Amen. You love each other. You be kind to each other. You forgive one another. You go on. You know, you've never wronged somebody. You've never said something you shouldn't have said. You never mistreated somebody. You know, so we do this one for another. This is what sets Christians apart. This is what makes us different than lost people. These things. Lost people don't love one another. They love themselves. They don't pervert one another. They want to be first all the time. They don't serve one another. They want people serving them. They don't forgive one another. They hold grudges. Yeah, they don't do these things. That's not how lost people live. The church house is supposed to be different. One more, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think with all my heart, if we could find and we could be this kind of church, you'd be surprised how many people just want to come here. You know, I kind of like to go to a church where all these things are going on. This is normal behavior. This is normal Christianity, and I think for the most part it is in our church. Look at verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 11. Notice this. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. That word edify means to build up. It means to challenge. It means to go to somebody and through your interaction with them, make them want to be better for the Lord. It means give them something positive. Give them something that will help them in their Christian life. Can I just give you this thought? And I think this takes some spiritual discernment, and I think you have to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. But look around in the local assembly and ask the Lord to lay people on your heart Take a few minutes and notice people around you. Think about the prayer requests that come across the pulpit. And even if it's not a prayer request, be sensitive enough to maybe pick up on the fact that maybe somebody's going through a tough time. I would much rather be that voice of encouragement than to be the reason that somebody's discouraged. There's times, here's what I think. Hey, we're going to church. And you know what? I have an opportunity when I get there to minister to somebody else in the church. I'm not sure if every member ought not to walk in the door with the premeditated determination, having prayed over the church membership list throughout the week and being sensitive to who else comes to the church around you, and ask God to lay one or two people in your heart that you seek out sometime before church or after church on purpose. Seek them out and say, listen, I want you to know something. I know that you're going through a difficult time. I want you to know that I prayed extra for you this week, and I'm glad you're a member here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, that ought to be normal behavior in the local assembly. That ought to be the challenge that God's given us. That ought to be what we ought to rise to that challenge. We ought to decide that that is important to do. Now, folks, listen to me. Give me this last thought. Five responsibilities of companionship. It's true of that. It's true of the responsibilities of fellowship. It's true of the responsibilities of leadership. Nobody ever will fulfill these responsibilities until they die to self. The dying to self is the prerequisite to being a good church member, of being a good Christian. So hopefully these things that we've looked at and covered will help our church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and hopefully will help you personally. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you take the things that we've learned today, fasten them to our heart. Lord, folks are coming in for the morning service. Lord, we want to be prepared. We ask, God, as we take these few minutes in transition, that you'd bless even in these moments. Lord, for the service that will follow, I pray, dear God, that the singing will be powerful, and Lord, that it would be exciting, and Lord, that we put our hearts into it, that we, Lord, would listen carefully to what your Spirit would say to us as the Word of God is preached. Help us to enjoy and partake in all aspects of the service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.